Once again, God is good, and all the time, God is good. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. God is good again. This morning, we're going to talk about life beyond the resurrection. Life beyond the resurrection. Before we go any further, though, let us make our petition to God. O Lord, O great Father, which art in heaven, we have been privileged, honored, and blessed to be able to come out and to serve thee with spirit, in spirit and in truth. We are so thankful, Lord, that you have seen fit to grant us another opportunity to do just that. You woke us up at our house and you brought us out to your house. Thank you, Lord. Father, we are so grateful for each and every breath that we take. We're so grateful for each and every morsel of food that we eat. And then we're so grateful for each and every drop of water that you follow us our meals up with. Thank you, Lord. Father, we are praying this morning for the local congregation here. We're praying for its leadership, their families. We're praying for the brethren who have taken part in the services thus far. And we pray for the brothers who will take part in the services from this point on. Thank you, O Lord. Father, we are so once again blessed that we have been safe from hurt, harm, or danger. That we have been given this opportunity, and we thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for each and every person that's here today, and we pray for those that may be sick, especially those who are members of the household of faith. We just pray, O Heavenly Father, that you would grant them your healing finger to touch them, that they may be able to be out with us at the next appointed time. Father, we pray for all of our civil and public servants, O Lord. We pray especially for those who are in the armed forces many miles away from home. We just pray for their safe return, that they may soon be able to come back to be with us once again. Father, we pray for all of those who protect and guard us and take care of us when we need to call upon them. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for your son, Jesus, who because he went to yonder's cross, came down off the cross, got up out of the tomb, we can talk about the resurrection, for we know it to be so. Thank you, Lord. Thank you now, my Heavenly Father. I pray for each and every member here today and their families. I pray for those families which are grieving the loss of a loved one. Please, Father, bless them and give them the strength, wisdom, and the knowledge to know that everything will soon be all right. Thank you for everything, Lord, and I pray for the churches of Christ all over, especially, once again, this local congregation. Thank you, Father, and it's in the name of Jesus we pray and ask all these blessings. In his name, amen. Today is known as the Lord's Day. And for that reason, we should be glad that the Lord has been raised from the dead. We should be glad that we have been given this great privilege to serve the true and living God, for there is none better and there is none other. Now, I know this is not the traditional time of the year that you speak on this subject, but I believe that any time you speak on the gospel of Christ, it is the right time. Today is the day that the Lord has made, and we should be glad and rejoice in it. Let us, as we always do, go forward unto the Word of God. After Jesus was arrested and put on trial, some things changed for his followers. Not all for the good did they change either. The disciples now were scared. Many of them had ran away upon Jesus' capture. One denied even knowing Jesus. Their faith and their values had changed. It appeared to be a new day for them. So let us look at the after or the beyond the resurrection of Jesus. Today we should be happy because we have been given a great chance to live on after we die because of the resurrection. In God's word, we can see things that should bring gladness to us. The first thing I want us to notice is that faith was restored. In Luke, the 22nd chapter, in verses number 54 through verse number 55, Peter's faith had been lost. Notice those two scriptures, if you will. Jesus was led away and Peter followed afar off. I want you to notice that part. He followed, but he was afar off. Something for us to note that Peter was the only one mentioned as to following Jesus, but his distance was far off, afar off. Some today only follow Jesus while things are going in their favor. As this drama unfolded, Peter in verse 55 was sitting by the fire with the others. In the verses of 56 through 60, we find in chapter 22 of Luke, we find the denial of Jesus not once, not twice, but three times. It is possible for us to lose. Is it possible for us to lose our faith? Yes, there are things that can leave our faith wavering. Things like disappointments can come our way. Tragedies can come our way. When tragedy hits our lives, when it seems as though our prayers are not answered, we sometimes think that God is not listening or God is not present with us. All these things may cause some of us to lose faith. Job went through these feelings and more in Job chapter 23, verses 8 and 9. He said, "Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backwards, but I cannot perceive him. On the left, I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him." But look what happened in verse number 10. "But he knoweth the way that I take. When he had tried me, I shall come out, come forth as gold." God knows all about us, church. He knows what and when we go through our trials, and we shall come forth as gold. We can trust in the Lord. He knows our every move, our every path, and our every step. If you've ever been down like Job, you know God can pull us through when we have crises of faith. You know, I don't know of any of us that have really went through what Job went through, but we've been somewhere near where Job has been, I believe. I believe that we all have had troubles in our lives, and if you haven't, just stick around for a little while. You shall find some troubles, or troubles shall on the other, I should say, find you. But these disciples had been, especially Peter, look at verse chapter 24 in the text again. "Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them." Now I like that because it tells me something there. They got up on the first day of the week, but they got up very early to go see about Jesus. We ought to be in line to get in the door when it comes to Sunday morning. "And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher." You didn't have to open the door for Jesus. The stone was rolled away. "And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed about thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth and said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee?" Church, isn't it a wonderful thought to know that Jesus is not in the grave any longer? He has been resurrected. You don't have to worry about looking for Jesus in the cemetery because he's not there. The stone was rolled away when the women got there in the early, up on the first day of the week, or early on Sunday morning, if you will. He was not there, and he's still not there. I'm so glad this morning that he's not there. So not only was faith restored, but fellowship was restored. The Lord knows when we are low in our faith area. He knew Peter had lost his faith. He knows us at our weakest point. In Mark 16 and 17, we find an angel who had a message for them. Those who came looking for Jesus, that Jesus is written. I'm sorry, in Luke chapter 22 there. He came, not Mark 16, he came and said that Jesus is risen. They were to let the disciples and Peter know that Jesus had already gone into Galilee. There they would see him as he said. He was informing all of his disciples to come back, just like he tells those of us who have been backslidden to come on back. A Christian is not very happy when he has left the Lord. A true Christian, I mean, he's not very happy when he has left the Lord. Do you remember in Psalms number 137 where, well, I'm sorry, I don't want to go there yet. Do you remember in John 20, verse 19 and 20, when Jesus showed himself to the disciples who were gathered together? He said, "Peace be unto you." In verse number 20, he showed them his hands in his side, then were the disciples glad. We should all be glad that Jesus was raised from the dead. It should bring peace unto all who know and care for him. David asked the Lord for his joy be restored unto him in Psalms 51 and 12. A Christian is out of place when he's not in fellowship with the Lord. Do you remember, now I'm where I want to be, do you remember in Psalms 137 where the Jews were held captives in Babylon and they asked the question, they said, "How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land?" How can a Christian be right with God when he's estranged from God? How can a Christian live on the outside of God's will? When we become a child of God, we should carry ourselves as such. And I may as well tell you this, not only on Sunday, but 7 days a week. Our walk, Jesus should be reflected in our walk, in our conversation, and in our attitude. There's nothing wrong when others make the remark, "There goes one of those church folk." That's a compliment, church. Take it as a compliment and let them talk about you, but you know the Lord. You know the best person there is to know. It's better than them not saying anything at all about you. If they don't say anything at all about you, they know your reputation perhaps. So they don't make a comment because you're one of them. He also restarted fires. How can we forget the great biblical example found in Luke 24, starting around verse number 13, where the Bible speaks of two men on their way to the village of Emmaus, a village just a little ways from Jerusalem. They appeared to be in deep conversation because the Bible said they communed with each other. They were talking about what had happened. You see, the death of our Lord and Savior, and even more so, his resurrection was on everyone's mind. Believers and followers of Christ were talking about it. If they had the Sun Times, it would have been front page news at the time. While they talked, Jesus drew near and walked with them, but they did not recognize them. See, we have to carry ourselves right at all times because Jesus may come at any time. These two recognized through their burning hearts how Jesus had caused their fires to be restarted. They had not understood the events of the past 3 days, but Jesus opened the scriptures to them. Jesus can work great things we cannot know unless we go unto the Word of God, into the Word of God. How we need the Lord to restart many of our fires. Some of us have lost the warmth of the fires, but some have lost the entire flame. Some have lost just a sentimental thought about Christ Jesus, but some have lost the whole idea of Christ Jesus. We need to move forward, but sometimes we need to look back to the empty tomb so that we will understand how great and loving the Lord has been to us. We need to go back to the excitement we had when we first became a Christian, when we wanted to fix everybody, everything, and everything that's going on around us. We need to go back to the faithfulness we once had. In other words, we need to come back to the Lord, because He is not in the grave. He is alive, sitting on the right hand of our Father in heaven. Remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 14, the Bible says, if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, so is your faith is also vain. As for me, I refuse to think that Christ is not risen. Why? Because the Bible tells me He was raised, and I believe it to be so. When we go back to the text again, we look at the verse of number 2. In Luke 24, it says, and they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. And they entered in. Here's what I want you to notice, though. And found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, they were much perplexed thereabout, because two men stood by them in shining garments. And they were afraid, and they bowed down their faces to the earth and he said to them, why seek ye the living among the dead? You can't serve God, the Lord Jesus Christ, if you think he's dead. God is alive and well, and He's sitting on the right hand of the Father. He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how He spake unto you when He was yet in Galilee? Jesus had already told them that He had to be crucified and He was going to die. But I tell you, some of us, we still doubt the Word of God from time to time. We still ask the question, how can that be so? How can God be so miraculous on the one hand, yet He was so human on the other hand? Well, that's the Word of God. That the Word of God will explain all of that to you. But we've got to get into the Word of God. We've got to go into the Word of God when we want to find out just what the Lord has in store for us. When you think about all the things that the Lord has done for us, you ask yourself this question. If the Bible says that He is alive, why don't I believe it? Why would you not believe that God is alive and well? God is going to change our life. He has changed our life. So therefore, we look to life beyond the resurrection. Life beyond the resurrection lets us know that when we die, we have a place that's better than the place we're at right now. God has let us know through His death, His burial, and His resurrection that we can live on after we die. Now, I know that nobody likes to talk about dying. It's a touchy subject. But you know what? It shouldn't be so touchy, because we all have to do the same thing. None of us are going to make it out of this world alive. None of us are going to be here after a certain appointed time unto us. And that appointed time to us is told to us in Hebrews 9 and 27. Once appointed to man to die, then the judgment. And I may as well tell you, You've got to live right in order to get up right. You can't live your entire life wrong and expect to get up and be with Jesus. You're going to face him, no doubt. But you've got to live right if you want to live with him forever in eternity. So when you consider the whole matter and you think to yourself, how can I make sure that I'm serving the Lord? Well, right here, you go to the Word of God. The Word of God is a good thing. The Word of God is the best thing that ever happened to us. The Word of God can make us right when we're wrong. And then in chapter 17 of Luke, we find the story of Lazarus and the rich man and Lazarus. And when we consider the whole matter at hand, I'm sorry, in Luke 16, not 17, there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, starting at verse 20. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. But in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water that he and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot. Neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. And he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have not one, not two, not three, but five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come in to this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. What did I read that for? I read all of that to simply tell you that once you're gone, it's too late to get a change of heart then. Your heart cannot be changed then. You've got to live right in order to die right, to lay down right in order to get up right. You see what he wanted Lazarus to do? He wanted Abraham to send Lazarus unto his father's house to let his brothers know, try not to come to this place. I'm telling you all that we don't want to live wrong thinking that we're going to get up right, because it's just not happening. And then he said, the same thing I just said a moment ago, Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if he went unto them from the dead, they would repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. If you don't hear the word of God while you still can, it's going to be too late to hear it in the hereafter. You've got to hear the word of God and live by the word of God right now. Because God, our God, he is alive. God is alive and well, sitting on the right hand of the Father. And I say unto you this morning, you better live your life right. Because when you go back over to chapter 24 of the book of Luke, you will see that what the Bible says once again, he, in verse number 6, he is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee? Remember the words of the Bible, how Jesus speaks to us through the word of God. You got to remember the word of God if you want to live right. And I know sometimes things get, they pile up on us. And we can't exactly live our lives the way we think. We don't live our lives the way we think we should, the way the Bible tells us to. We live it the way we think we should live it. And that's just not good enough. That's not good enough. If God puts something in front of you, trust me, he can get you around it or through it. If God puts something in front of you, he knows the way to get you. You see, he knows our way from the beginning until the end. There's nothing that God can't handle. Nothing is impossible for God to handle. When I think about how good God is to us, I often say to myself, Lord, why are you so good to us? And I can't always answer the question, Brother Jackson, because I don't know the answers. I don't have all the answers. But one thing I do know, what's in the Bible is what we ought to be living by. What's in God's word is what we need to be living by. He died on yonder's cross. Can you imagine when he stretched out his arms? They nailed the nails into his hands and into his ankles, into his feet. And he hung, he bled, and he died for us. Now, I always tell you this, but I'm going to tell you again. I wouldn't have done it for the rest of us. I would have only done it if it had been on my behalf. But Jesus did it all for us because he loved us so, according to John 3:16. God sent his only begotten Son into the world because he loved us. And so I ask you, can you not love him back? We should have to give numbers to get in here on a Sunday morning. Because the church is where everything takes place at. The word of God is spoken, directions to heaven are given, and right from wrong is taught. So when we come to church on Sunday morning, when you get to the door, leave your troubles on the outside. Don't bring them in because I got enough of my own. When you come inside the door, you ought to be willing and ready to serve God in spirit and in truth. When you come inside the door, you ought to be ready to greet your brothers and sisters with a hearty hello. You know, some folk come to church, they're so mad at somebody they left at home or something, and they don't even want to talk to you. There's nothing wrong with having problems because we all got some of them. But the problem is with the problem is that you bring the problem with you, and this is not a place to bring your problems. You bring it all before the Lord, but you don't bring it before me because I can't always solve your problem. Sometime I can help you out. But that's what I'm trying to do this morning, help you out. And if I can help you while I'm going along my way, then I've done what I'm supposed to do. But when things pile up on you and they mount up on your shoulder and it seems as though your shoulder is going to break, that's when you need the Lord. That's when you need to come to God and ask him to alleviate some of these problems, oh Lord. Alleviate some of this trouble. Take some of this pain away from me. And I've learned a few things, and I tell you this frequently, but I'm going to tell you again because I need to keep reminding you because it keeps reminding me. The older you get, the more pain you're going to have. I'm talking physical pain now. I have places that hurt me that I never knew existed on me. and talking about moving fast like I used to, it ain't happening. Talking about running, I can run from here to the back door, but that's about it. I can't even run for dinner anymore. But I'm going to tell you something. When you trust in God, give Him all of your problems, your anxieties, your situation, your disappointments, He can work them out. If you have been faithful to Him, you know, when you pray to God, you have to ask in faith. That you are asking, Lord, I'm asking you for this, that, or the other, and I believe that you have the capabilities of giving them to me, but you have to believe it. Now, when troubles get so high on you that you think that, I don't know, you say to yourself, I don't know how Job went through it, because I can't do it. I know my time is up, but y'all got a minute, I'm sure. Nobody left a pot on the stove, did they? Just give me a minute here now. I'll be right there now. I'll be where you want me to be. But when troubles pile up on you, and you begin to look backwards because you can no longer see forward, that's the wrong thing to do. You want to look forward and just glance backwards, but then keep your face toward the front. Keep your eyes toward the front. Because you got to see where you're going. You already know where you've been, so you got to see where you're going. And when you want some help in seeing the right way, you got to go to the Lord. You got to ask Him. Now, every now and then somebody will stand up here and say something to the effect that I'm going to be traveling, and I'm asking you for traveling grace. And that's okay. That's the right thing to do. I'm not saying that's wrong. But you, first of all, you ought to preface it with, if it be the Lord's will, I'm going to travel. If it be your will, if it be the Lord's will, I'm going to hope that I make it to my destination. You know, wherever you're going, you need to take the Lord with you. And I hear people often tell me, I've heard it many times before, I couldn't find a church where I was at. Then maybe you shouldn't have been there. Maybe you shouldn't have been there. Because what you do is you scout out the church before you go there. And you know there's a directory on the churches of Christ all over. As a matter of fact, some churches put it in the local newspaper, in the directory. They tell you where they're at. You need to make sure that you can get into the church of Christ on any Sunday morning that comes to you. Upon the first day of the week when the women went there, they went there early in the morning to meet Jesus. I like that because it tells me something I already know. Sometimes I wonder where would we be if it wasn't for the women in the church. The women were there early on the first day of the week. Now, that wasn't the church, but that was to serve the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I know the difference between the two of them. I know they wasn't going to church, but they were going to help Jesus. They were going to work on Jesus. They had spices prepared to help him to get through the ordeal. They were going to rub him down. Some of you won't give him the time of the day. And I'm not accusing anybody in here, so don't say, is he talking to me? If I was, then you're guilty. So what I'm trying to say to you is don't be like the rich man was. Don't expect somebody else to do the work that you can do while you're here living. Do your work while you're living. They say the best sermon a person preaches his own funeral while he yet lives. The best sermon that you can give upon your death is how you live. Now, as I said, I know my time is up, but I got just one or two more thoughts that I got to let go with. So then, while you're here on this earth, living your life, and I know it's fun, especially when you're 22, 23, 24, to get out and pop your fingers and do all that, There's nothing wrong with that, but when you get to a certain point in life, your fingers won't pop no more. Your legs won't move and your feet don't move like they used to anymore. That's when you got to come to realize maybe I've been living wrong all that time behind me. What about what's in front of me? You got to live your life for the age that you are. I see some 60-year-olds thinking they're 20 years old. And I can tell them that it ain't going to work. It just ain't going to work. But back to what we were talking about. If you trust in the Lord, you'll realize that He is alive. He is well, and He is sitting on the right hand of the Father. Jesus is risen, and there is life beyond the resurrection, because we can have life beyond the resurrection. If the resurrection didn't take place, then all of this we're doing is in vain. The preaching we do is vain. The faith that we have is vain. But you know something? I don't know about you, but I'm not willing to trust that it's vain. I'm going to say it's truth and go with the truth. I'm going to say that it happened just the way the Bible presented it to us. Because I believe in the Bible. I believe the Bible is right. And I believe that the Word of God is right, which is the Bible. So somebody may ask the question, I need to know how to get right with the Lord before it's too late. How do I get right with the Lord? Well, you come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then Brother Jackson will put you down in the water this morning. It's still morning right now. So he'll put you down in the water this morning. But if you've already taken that step before in your life, and you got twisted and turned around, you need to come back home. You ask the Lord to forgive you. Ask to come forward. Ask the church to pray for you. This you can do as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.